Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Basil, thank you for your comment. It was excellent. One of the very best, I think, we've ever had. And really on the money. Now, April 14th, in our calendar year, is the Feast of the Great Almond. National Almond Day. Of course, I know that really meant a great deal to you. But April 15th is Tax Day. So we venerate the nut on the 14th, and we send our money to support them on the 15th. I didn't make this up. This is the calendar. There was a bar in Boston, kind of a rowdy bar, and they had a really huge bartender who was also kind of a bouncer. And they had a standing bet of $1,000 that the bartender would take a lemon and squeeze all the juice out of it. And if anybody can squeeze anything else after he was done out of that lemon, they would get $1,000. So for about 5-6 years, they've tried doing that. People came in and they all lost, and, you know, it was a big joke. And one day, a little scrawny guy came in with glasses and in really high squeaky voice, and "I'll give it a try." In the bar, and they all laughed. They thought that was the greatest thing ever they had ever seen. And lo and behold, the bartender squeezed it with all his power and strength, and then he gave it to this little Ronnie guy. And he took it, and he squeezed out 6 drops more. The entire bar was speechless, and they were shocked. And they asked him, "Who are you? What are you?" "Oh, I work for the Internal Revenue." "Render unto Caesar as which is Caesar's, and render unto God which is God's." For us today, this is the foundation in Scripture of our Lutheran position on the kingdom of the right and the kingdom of the left. That God establishes governments for us, and that we have an obligation and obedience to that. Which means most of the people in this church, and I suspect in most churches, especially today, and I'm not going to say rightfully so, because human nature is what it is, if you raise your voice against the President of the United States, if you make a negative comment, if you make a joke about him, you are in violation of God. We had Cyrus today who brings the children of Israel back home. But when God, in the book of Jeremiah, when God sends his children off to Babylon, he tells them, work for Babylon, pray for Babylon, do everything you can in your power to have Babylon prosper. The very people that are enslaving you, have them prosper, because you will prosper along with them, and they will come to learn the word of the Lord. Powerful words. Who are we to rise up in rebellion against the government. We will ultimately have the government that we deserve to have. And so we have the kingdom of the left, which is our government. Then we have the kingdom of the right, which is the kingdom of God. And we make a huge mistake because we say, well, the kingdom of the left is only the works of men, the laws of men. Well, I'm sorry, there's laws of men in the kingdom of the right as well. And I'm going to explain this and talk about this. There's law and gospel. Allie, really pay attention. There's law and gospel in both the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. Yes, if you like it or not, there's gospel in the kingdom, which is the United States of America. Would you rather live here or in Ethiopia? Well, hello, there's the beginning of it, right? What this country has given you personally. If one of you is having a heart attack and you call 911 and the paramedics come and they save your life as they're bringing you to the emergency room and the emergency room ensures that safety of your life, is that gospel? Remember the definition of law? Simple definition of law is what we do. Simple definition of gospel is what someone does for us. They saved your life. Is that gospel? Or would you rather be dead? You didn't do CPR on yourself. You didn't have the medical training or knowledge to use the right medications and the right procedures. What if you call 911 and your house is on fire? And they get there in time to put it out and save your house. Is that gospel? Has someone taken care of you? Yes. If you're in a car accident and the fire department comes and they have to rescue you to pull you out, is that gospel? Do you remember the earthquake that took place in San Francisco where the freeways collapsed and they had to dig them out? You couldn't dig yourself out. Someone else had to dig you out. That's gospel. What if you're on a battlefield and there's a grenade that's dropped next to you and your buddy jumps on that grenade and saves your life and everyone else around? Is that gospel?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. What do you mean? Gospel just doesn't belong to God. Gospel belongs to both kingdoms because they come from God in the first place. Hello? They're gifts. But here's the problem with this gospel. Gospel in the left, it's never perfect, is it? If someone saves your life, do they save your life for eternity? No. It's imperfect. If they take care of your house, save your house from a fire, does that guarantee that you'll never have a fire again at your house? Or your house won't be broken into, or earthquake won't destroy it. Remember Chimney Falls up here? No. It's for that moment, but it's not eternally resolved. If you are healed today, are you still going to be in danger of dying tomorrow? Yes. Now, the government provides all these emergency services for us, right? And the law is that we are to, what? Pay our taxes so that we have these services available, right? And almost every single American does their best to try to get out of paying their taxes. We look at every loophole that we can get, but we also complain like crazy about the police department and the fire department and all the agencies that we so desperately need. Know a number of winters ago when we had a tremendous snowstorm up here and they sent all the plows down below, where's the gospel? And it was grateful and wonderful when the plows came. And then it didn't take long before the berms started building up in the driveways. And then all of a sudden the law came. Brigga, brigga, son of a... You got a 6-foot berm in your driveway. I'm glad the streets are taken care of, but I can't get out. Use a law and gospel. You may have heard what happened. One particular church situation in Houston, the mayor has demanded from the church to have the pastor's sermons, the notes on his sermon, all his text material, and a log of his phone calls and contacts with his parishioners and the community. He and a few others, and they're refusing. The judge has said if they don't comply, they will go to jail. And it's really over the issue of bathrooms. Are bathrooms for... Are we going to have female bathrooms and male bathrooms? And are we going to have only females in those bathrooms? And, you know, it's really now become a big mess. So basically, what the city has done is we're going to have a gender-free bathroom that just about anybody could use it, either of these bathrooms. The majority of the people in the town is very upset about that. So once this law was passed, they got a petition to have this law removed. The petition, they got enough signatures, 3 times more than they needed. 3 times more than they needed. And when it was presented to the mayor, they threw it out. Legally, they're not allowed to, but they did. You know what they say about the 800-pound gorilla, right? And so the mayor just simply ignored it. The pastors then started signing and petitions to have her removed, saying that was an unlawful act. She responded, "Well, I want to see what you're saying, because I'm going to punish you if you say anything negative. If you interfere with my plans, then you're going to get it." And it's interesting because a large number of liberals in our government and in our country today are very upset about this. This has really exploded. And they said it very clear. One, we're not happy with the pastors. Two, it's really none of their business. Yada, yada, yada. But now the courts and the government are going too far, because if they do it to the churches, when are they going to start doing it to us? What happened to our free speech? What happened to our constitutional rights? This has now started, and I'm praying it really has started, a real fire in our country. Well, how far will liberals go? Will they constantly ignore the laws that are and procedures that have been established by the people of the United States? Well, here's a law that's gone horribly bad. When you have the kingdom of the left, there are basically different types of laws. The first type of law is that we have a law, and by the way, these types of laws are the same on the kingdom of the right, by the way, within the church. You have the first one that protects you. Laws that protect you. That's why we have stop signs. That's why we have lighting system at intersections. This is why we say, wrong way, one way, don't enter. You know, you don't go in the wrong direction on the freeway type of thing, right? It is there for your protection and the protection of others. Because if you don't follow this, people are going to get hurt, and or you will get hurt in the process as well. I don't know if you've ever been to Mexico, but I've been to Mexico about a couple decades ago, and I thought I was not going to live. Nobody pays attention to stop signs or anything else. It's kind of like every person for themselves. Good luck. No wonder they have little religious things in the taxi cabs. Please, God, make it through the day. And so these are good things to protect you. There are other laws that we are under that it's called social engineering. The government, and this comes from Rome, the value of a person is defined, ancient Rome, The value of a person is defined by their credibility and support of the state. So generally, in Roman society during the time of Jesus, everybody's a soldier. Everybody had the same uniform. Because we're all building Rome. We're all here for Rome. Now, Rome's going to give you gospel. It's going to give you free games and free bread and all these other good things. But there's a lot of law that Rome is going to tell you who you are, what you can do and cannot do, and where you can go and who you can talk to, and what you should look like and sound like, and so forth and so on. And if you don't follow that social engineering, you're in big trouble. That's why the Christians were persecuted, because they go, no, we are in the kingdom of the right. We're going to follow that direction. And that's why the persecutions. And so the whole issue now with what's taking place in Houston is social engineering. We want to change the government. And we've always done that. We've always done that. Our educational system was first to make good citizens. Not to give them an education in this country, but to make good citizens. Social engineering has always been the French Revolution. Social engineering. Henry VIII. Social engineering. Hitler. Social engineering. The Bolshevik Revolution. Social engineering. Terrorism today for the Muslim world is social engineering. We want everybody to walk like a duck, talk like a duck, look like a duck, and become a duck. And if you're not a duck, then you're going to be a dead duck. Social engineering. Unfortunately, that doesn't work because we're sinners and we all rise up in rebellion because we want to be individuals. And so the third issue of the law comes up, that is to oppress and dominate. It was through the law that Jews were put to death by the Nazis. It was through the law that Hitler conquered country after country. It was through the law that in this country we had men and women as slaves. It's through the laws called eminent domain that the government can take your house. The government can seize your assets in your bank accounts. The government can take anything and everything it wants if you're not going to walk like a duck and talk like a duck and become a duck. Then you're going to become a dead duck. The government has that power. It will imprison, it will oppress, and it will dominate. And it's through the use of the law. That's the kingdom of the left. So at its very best, it's imperfect, isn't it? And it's at its very worst, it's demonic, is it not? Amen? But it's still under God's authority, because without government, we have chaos, don't we? Absolute chaos. And by the way, we're born into law. We're born into law because without it, we eat each other. Huh? You know, the liberal position is a fascinating one. I want to be free. I want to do whatever I want. Is that possible? Sooner or later, I'm going to bump into somebody else who wants to do whatever they want. And then we have a what? Huge fight. Chaos. The liberal position can only lead chaos and disorder. So ultimately, no matter how liberal you are, you will become more and more conservative and oppressive. The Nazi Party was a liberal party, by the way. It wasn't a conservative party. Most liberal parties have become conservative in the bad sense of the word, and oppressive and domineering and unjust in all their acts. Now, kingdom on the right. What does law do? Law first protects us, doesn't it? Protects us from ourselves and from each other. God's law. We shall not kill. Thou shalt not steal. thou shalt not bear false witness. Notice what's happening here. All the commandments that in the tablet of the second tablet tells us about how we're going to relate to each other, how to be just with each other. Does it do the second one? Is it social engineering? Does God participate in social engineering? Hello! Does he want us to do whatever we feel like doing to each other? Or does he set a standard for us to relate to each other, to love your neighbor as yourself? That doesn't come easy, does it? In any way, shape, or form. Yeah, social engineering. Does the law condemn, punish, and oppress? Yeah, it's called hell. Yeah, if you're not going to be in obedience, if you don't recognize the authority of God, are you going to end up on the wrong side? Hello? So kingdom of the right, kingdom of the left, it's about the same. What about gospel, though? Is the gospel that God does for us through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father, is it perfect? What we receive, is it perfect? When He heals, does He heal completely? Yes. When He forgives, does He forgive completely? Yes. When He rises us from the dead, do we live forever? Yes. What about our wounds and pains? Every tear will be wiped away, the Bible says, right? It is His gospel, His gifts are absolutely perfect. And the only place where that perfection is found is in the kingdom of the right, is in God's kingdom through God's grace. Now, you could see the horrendous problem if we choose the kingdom of the left to be our Savior. I want a president to save me. I want a government to save me. I want a movie star to save me. I want a sports figure to save me. By the way, there are some good football quarterbacks. I want them to save me. I want them to make my life great. It's not going to happen. Only God can give us that perfect gospel. Only God could do the work that we're not capable of doing and doing it perfectly and completely. I want you to, you can actually do this if you want to or think about it. Take out a dollar. Take out some paper money if you want to and take a look at the name on it. I dare anyone to find your name on that dollar bill. That dollar does not belong to you. And by the way, to deface that money is a crime in America. A lot of Americans don't know that. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It's on loan. Your land doesn't belong to you. It's on loan. It's called eminent domain. It's like manifest destiny. The government can do 800-pound gorilla, whatever it wants to do. What about your debit cards? Your name's on it, but does it belong to you? No, there's a little thing on the back that says, if we ask to have this back, you better give it back. What about your credit cards? Do they belong to you, or are they on loan to you? They're on loan. They don't belong to you. So when Jesus says today, what image is on that coin? Caesar's. Then render unto Caesar's, which is Caesar's. If the government wants your home, they're going to take it. It's not the kingdom of God. Everything we have that we just talked about comes from the kingdom of the left, through God, but the kingdom of the left, and it's on loan to us. Okay, what about the kingdom of the right? Can anybody, and I know I might have one Weisenhammer in here, and if it's so, this person is deeply, pathologically sick. Does anybody have their own name tattooed on themselves? You might have somebody else's name. You have your own name tattooed? No, no, not somebody else's, your own name. Okay, good, okay. You know, because I could see if you have Alzheimer's. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, right, okay, got it. I'm George. That's right. Yeah, that, matter of fact, that's not a bad idea. We might think about that. But otherwise, you might have somebody else. But none of us bears on our flesh our own name. And that's because we were not created in our image, were we? We were created in God's image. See the implication here? If Jesus says, what image is on this coin? Then render to Caesar's that which belongs to Caesar. If we were created in the image of God, which we are, then what do we owe God? What does God possess? He possesses us, doesn't he? Everything we have, our entire lives, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, are on loan to us from God. And we need to give them back to him because they belong to him in the first place. We don't have to give him authority because he's a king. We don't have to give him authority because he's God. We need to give him authority because that's where we need to be anyway. That's the reality. That's the gravity of spirituality. God is God and we are not. What do you mean God has to be recognized by us? Oh, well, God, you're not God unless I think you are. What? How has that worked in the Bible? Not well at all. I don't come to God and say, okay, I'm going to bless you by accepting you as my king. Hello? Yep. I know who's in whose presence I am. And I know who I really belong. I belong to you. I don't belong to me. It's not what I want to do, dear Lord Jesus. It's what you want me to do. And what does he do? What is his law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The law for Jesus is love. And that love fulfills the law perfectly. Because it's not something you have to do, it's something you get to do. It's not something you're forced to do, it's something you want to do. And you become more and more and more like Jesus as you love more and more. And the more you give, the more you get. Amen.